Welcome to another broadcast of Project Urantia on the Artists First World Radio Network. An ever-growing number of people are coming to the realization that perhaps spiritual beings have been visiting our planet since there's been a history. And one human being, in my humble opinion, who knows more about that than just about anybody around these days, it's our guest of honor every broadcast, Michael in Maui. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Z-Man.
How are things this week?
Oh, it looks like this week is significant because I received some information sent to me early this morning, and it seems to tie in with world news. That's pretty interesting.
Well, Michael, you are the lightning rod of information, in my opinion, so let's just dive right into it. What's up this week?
Well, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean I understand everything I get sent, you know, I see, but it was sent in an interesting way, and what I saw was what seemed to be looking like a parade or something similar to a celebration, and a woman was centered in it and seemed to give me a feeling that she was like a royalty or something, and she had a she was dressed in a kind of a greenish color, and in fact the whole party seemed to have been in that color, and it troubled me because the color was significant. I was wondering why was this color so significant. So, you know, as I looked into it further, I began to notice certain events that was being pointed out, that there was we cut away to another image of a line being drawn on the edge of a table, on a, you know, a table, and close to the edge, nearly falling off the edge, was a line going straight on the side of the edge, and then all of a sudden it diverted toward inward, but it didn't move completely inward. There was almost like it had another track that went inward, but it didn't take it. It was closely following it on the edge of this table. Now, gave me a feeling like it was falling off the table, but just barely hanging in there. And then it went back to this parade type event or celebration type event, and then there seemed to be extreme radiance, like somebody shot a radiation or strong light, well, actually strong light and radiation onto that whole party, and you know, wondering, what is this? You know, this is, I can't put this together. So I just watched it continue, and then I was able to get a replay. I was asked about it, and it continued and replayed some of the events concerning the government. I guess it was more of a government type thing. I was wondering who this woman was. You know, it wasn't significant. She was only a representative or image that was used to give me the idea. And of all things, and I just kept wondering about it, I said, well, okay, I'll get up and do my thing. So I grabbed my toothbrush. Of all things, my toothbrush had on it the same, it was the exact same color of what that's seen playing out on that. And on the handle of the toothbrush, I said, what's leading me to something here? On the handle of the toothbrush, I turned it to the side, and on gold, you know, leaf, like embossed on it, was Jordan. And of all things, we have significant talks going on with Israel, Jordan, and Palestinian Authority, and Hamas getting involved, and all kinds of things that the celestials are telling me that's significant, and it could lead to something devastating, or they may be saying that it will inevitably lead to something devastating. And it reminded me of the concept or the scriptures which said that when they declare peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. So anyway, I kept on looking at that and then also wondering about this flare that came out. Could it have been natural, or could it be something, again, with the sun or hitting down, something like that? So, and then, yeah, we have a strong X-9 flare that caused Delta Airlines to have to divert some of their flights. So this is a small flare in comparison to what will be coming around the corner. The sun is capable of flares in the X-class that will be unheard of or never measured by modern instruments. So these things combined. So there is a warning that's coming from the celestials. So keep an eye out on these kinds of events, these things that are coming down the line. And although some of them are preventable, these talks, which are being tried to be kept on the table, will, if they, you know, could be diverted. And as far as solar flares, that's something that, as we have extra help keeping our planet safe, however, that could go away too. So these are the things that they sent me. So I'm just repeating what they send me, and sometimes I really don't really fully understand.
When they spell out Jordan, I don't think they're talking about Michael. I think they're talking about the country, the kingdom of Jordan in the Middle East. Longtime allies, sort of the United States. Let's talk about that region. Obviously, since I'm in my 50s, my entire life it's been a mess over there. They've been trying to kill each other. And I think, I don't think Israel will tolerate Iran developing a nuclear weapon, because the government of Iran constantly says we need to annihilate Israel off the face of the earth. And I don't believe they will allow that to happen. So if we can speculate that Iran might be 2 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years out from having enough material to create a nuclear weapon, we have to anticipate something dramatic will happen before that time, right? Follow logic there?
I'm very antsy about that, because I, in fact, a friend of mine, his name is Iran, not Iran, but Iran. he's Jewish, scientist type, and he was there in the first attack. He was kind of close in on some of the stuff that was going on over there, the technological side, and how their technology, Israel's technology. They get a fighter that they get sent from the U.S., and immediately all the avionics get stripped out completely. And new technology, their own technologies, get put in. And what he said was, we are continuing to keep our technologies well ahead of where the U.S. is, because stuff that is experimental and all of that gets sold out is pretty much old technology. What they had at the time was stuff that made their planes basically invisible, able to fly almost on the ground, all the way under the radar, and go over there to Iran and blow up their earlier attempt in creating a plant to have fissionable material and a nuclear bomb. And I don't think it has at all dropped off their radar saying that they would continue such a thing to keep themselves safe. And if anybody doesn't feel very safe, it's Israel right now.
Well, and of course you've got Kim Jong-il just died, the fearless leader of North Korea. Now his 28-year-old kid is running in a multi-million man army right across from South Korea that could at any moment annihilate the entire city of, well, okay, there's lots of threats around the world, but boy, when you get a vision that specifies a name,
yes,
and an area, that's getting rather specific. Wasn't it the King of Jordan married an American woman, didn't he? Or the former,
yes,
king of, I believe, is he still alive? Did he pass on?
I think he did.
And now his son is running things over there, I believe, just like in Syria. But let's not forget, Russia backs Syria, Russia backs Iran. And I don't think much is going to happen in either of those countries without Russia and Putin having some influence. And, of course, the last thing we need is to kick up dust with the old Cold War. But, wow.
Well, this is something that just came, you know, and I better pay attention to this because, you know, it's one of those there. It's pretty strong where I can open my eyes and it still plays. And that's not necessarily something that they don't care if I don't pay attention. They want me to pay attention. I'm talking about celestials who send this to me. These are the essentially the guardians of destiny that I promised to help, you know, to help. And they are real beings with immense power in terms of telepathic power. And one of their intents is to sway our directions. And, but of course, our free will is, you know, the most important thing not to interfere with. But we have to watch this because this is something that I think may play out with some other event, and may it be, I'm hoping that that radiation isn't man-made. Yeah, you know, it could be the sun, but even if it is the sun, it could sway things, change things around considerably if it, you know, knocks out a lot of things at the right time and the wrong place or something like that, you know, where everything goes, starts to fall apart. And as far as Korea, the concept remains in place where the twin sisters will be or are presently still remaining in that area of coming together for some logical talks, because they do, this Kim, whatever his son's name is fairly made aware that they're, you know, they don't have enough to feed that gigantic troop without starving out the rest of their country, which has happened before. And then, you know, whenever you do this, then you have other internal problems, and then you got to divert their forces to keep the peace on your own land. And that of course, destabilizes the whole thing. So one of the things is that the U.S. has been the breadbasket for the, you know, for the world, essentially, and still remains so, pretty much so. So these things are still tools of negotiations, and China also sees that they're playing toward that. So it's all part of the information that was sent, and it's playing out right now. So,
isn't it? I'm sorry, please.
Go ahead.
Isn't it interesting that in the year 2012, we consider ourselves such an advanced civilization? We have this technological society, and we're so smart. Yet countries like North Korea can exist where the people who live there have absolutely no understanding of the world that they stand on. They have no clue what the actual world is all about. All they know, their whole world has been propagandized. It's like if all they had was Fox TV all the time. They are, you know, and it's not their fault, but isn't it amazing that in countries like Syria and Iran and North Korea and others, Myanmar, others, where you can still control an entire population and shelter them, literally shelter them from the outside world. Those poor people in North Korea have no idea what's going on in the real world. They have no idea how bad off they are compared to the rest of the real world. And isn't it shocking that you can still in this day and age keep people under your thumb like that, that they don't rise up and revolt against you?
Well, in, you know, in that case, it's one of the problems that they have is that a large amount of their population isn't as well educated as they'd like to have them be, because that also has kept them in a backward state. And that's a problem because they cannot progress. When they progress, then they can become like a China, where they, you know, they progress and their energies are able to be directed toward productivity and become, and because of that, become a center on the world stage. Now, they do see, like many others, the evil, in a sense of the way the industrialists tried to change the way the world operates, or their way of having the world operate, and because of that, they kind of reject it. But that is, you know, pretty much coming to an end, because technologies get a way of sneaking in there, information gets a way of sneaking in there, and then because of that, they have more and more information channels, and they realize where they're at, really, and that somebody really did pull the wool over their eyes. And it's not going to be stood for. And again, when it came down to that earlier vision, which is a couple weeks or 3 weeks old maybe, is one in which that showed the, you know, again, the carpets that sort of were carried on by the little people's feet and moved into place, aligning the world in itself toward a better, I guess, alignment. And with that alignment, the borders disappear and the world moves into a new era of behavior and learning. And this is where we are headed, actually. Project Giruancha is really supposed to move into a new age this year. And that new age ends with the old contract that was held between Lucifer, Satan, and their holdings. And one of their holdings was planet Earth. And that comes to an end this year. And with that, they only have a certain amount of time to declare, to prove sovereignty. But that is really not going to come about. And after that will come this tremendous alignment. And with that alignment will come those very individuals that gave me the basis of education and understanding of the celestial environment. And under this enlightened group of celestial beings who push forward, people like myself who've been trained by them in different levels of acceptance, bringing down their knowledge or their wisdom to where the people are at street level, and this will begin the higher education, or the way to run the planet essentially over toward the good. Now, not saying that I know the secrets, I'm just saying that these same individuals, these Danos, the teachers, are being prepared to make their advent here soon. And this is the world will require change. The world will require a definite desire, essentially, to start to learn a new way, a new, better way. And presently, we've been manipulated by, you know, the tools that are available by the industrialists and the bankers to run the planet. And this is coming to a quick end. And when that end arrives, the planet will be ready for, essentially, learning. So the students will be ready, and the teachers will appear.
And when you say soon, of course, we don't have any exact dates and times, ladies and gentlemen, but we are talking within the decade?
Yes, within a relatively short time, because, first of all, one of the things that needs to come to apparent change or fragile breakdown, essentially, the breakdown would be the financial system, which looks to be headed toward one around the end of this year. So that, along with various ways in which government has been influenced from the bottom up, you know, the concept of the carpets being lifted up by the little people and then being turned and aligned toward, I guess, a central, unified world without essentially borders and control, type of controls. This will probably take quite a while to achieve, and that quite a while would be perhaps hundreds and hundreds of years, as we have to break through barriers like cultural traditions and those kinds of things tend to really cling on to, you know, slowing down, or really are, you know, the mud that slows the wagon's progress, or so, you know, slows down things, and that of course will have to be put to the wayside. But some of the ways in which things have changed is making, you know, some of the characteristics of who we are, the competitive spirit, essentially becoming more like sport oriented and things like that. But you can see that in our own country, and around the world, where sports tend to hold a very important position in keeping people excited about things. But events right now are not at that level. They're devastatingly deadly, you know, and highly potent, and could, you know, very well destroy and kill a lot of people. So this thing's gotta go through that readiness. So people's gotta go through that readiness toward change, and that's what's exactly happening right now. And specifically, what areas we really should watch are these areas which are being pointed out as the celestials themselves have some influence in directing things toward those types of changes.
Well, with the message you received, it's pretty, you know, when they spell out the country Jordan for you, it's kind of an easy clue for us dopes out here, but what do you make of the woman and the royalty and the color green? And you know,
again, the color green was the exact color of my toothbrush. You know, walk right over. The first thing I'm going to do is get my toothbrush. And you know, it was on top of the toothbrush in Boston Gold was the name Jordan. So the celestials, they have interesting ways of, you know, directing me toward, you know, information. So sometimes they will use, you know, biblical scripture. Sometimes they will use things like that. But in the case where presently we're operating with Artists First and Project Urantia, they want to use other techniques, something that is more, I guess, non-traditional, not so deeply linked with religion or of any specific type, and yet still get across their same program like they did in the earlier thousands of years ago, and in terms of informing key individuals or the planet itself, and making changes. A lot of times they were thwarted, and you know, things didn't go right, so it sent things backward. But in this case, they don't see that backwardness as something that is you know, good. If it ends up with us, you know, starting to just let loose, it will, you know, devastate this planet.
Well, just like the old Star Trek series had the Prime Directive, where you're not allowed to mess around with a new species' free will. And, of course, we've mentioned this many times on the broadcast. The Celestials try not to directly influence our free will. But, for instance, well, this is just hypothetical, but let's say, for instance, a Celestial being wants a person to do something or not do something, but yet they're not allowed to influence their free will. Could a situation present itself where maybe they keep somebody at a stop sign just a few seconds longer so that the car that runs the stop sign doesn't kill them, or passes cold air off of them so they move in from the porch because it's cold outside, and then avoiding a mosquito that had a disease? You know, are things like that possible?
No. Well, the first instance happened to me. I don't know if I related it to you, but I'll tell you about it. I was at a four-way, you know, stop with traffic lights, and I came to a stop which I usually leave my car in gear and just have my foot on the brake. But I had this strong impression, and I kind of obey him when I do get up, to go put the car in neutral. He says, put the car in neutral, put the car in neutral. Over and over again, I heard that. And I said, well, this is a type of an audible, not exact audible, it's a thought. And I said, okay, I'll put the car in neutral. So I did. I put the car in neutral. And the light turned green. And I stepped on the gas. Oh, the car's in neutral. Didn't move. Then I said, okay, I'll put it in gear. So I put it in gear. And then just as I put it in gear, this car went right through there, 80 miles an hour. The guy had no intent to stop. Went through there 80 miles an hour and just zoomed through there. And I said, damn, if I had that car in gear, I would have been broadsided by that car, and it would have hit me broadside, me, driver's side, at that velocity, which would have been devastating. So this kind of event does happen, and it happened to me personally more than one time. However, this is part of progressing. As an individual progresses toward, I guess, inward toward God, they link up with the thought, the divine fractal. And the divine fractal has, along with that, certain abilities. After reaching a certain proximity to divinity, you're assigned a type of being. This being is a guardian. And they have a type of relation very much known. We already know their name. We call them guardian angels. And that's exactly what they are. And at that point, they do make certain adjustments in events like that. I mean, from their viewpoint, which is not mine, their viewpoint is beyond our three-dimensional perspective. They could see that the event was going to happen. And, of course, they stepped in, changed the outcome, and essentially protected me. Because they do have another thing that was on how I agreed to help them. They didn't ask me directly to help them. I stood in front of them. There was a type of me, you know, saying, don't blame, don't blame me on the state of affairs of the planet and instability and all of that. And I gave my speech, and they looked at me and never said a word, and they just kept looking at me. And then they had sort of had a feel, like, you know, like they had that, like a feel like looking at this puppy dog, a sad puppy dog on the side of the road. Oh, this poor dog's lost, he needs help. Then I realized they're asking for help, but they wouldn't say it. They just, in their heart, were asking for help. And I said, okay, I'll help you. And at that point there, they came out and they started to sing a song, which is very simple. And then the purple light started emanating from their forehead, very much like smoky incense, but it was light, purplish light. And this is how the many times they influence you through the level or the influence of your heart, you know, manipulating you, I guess, through exposing their heart, and which was basically, we need your help, but not asking directly, because it could have been looked at differently, like they're ordering you, because they're so far in terms of, I guess, celestial, if there was celestial hierarchy, they're far above me as a mortal. But when I did say yes, they had a bit of a celebration. I'll help. And the part of that arrangement was that they would also help in ways in which I wouldn't know when I needed it, but I said, when I don't, I know, just help, you know. And of course, they agreed to that. So yes, there's definitely this kind of arrangement that goes on. And as individuals progress inward toward divinity, more close alignment with the divine fractal, and even come to a point when implanting a personal type of, you might say, relationship, one in which is two ways, one-way flow, a dialogue, and this will result in a powerful arrangement of ourselves becoming a new, truly divine individual, headed straight toward the divinity destiny that we are designed to fulfill, but with free will as a absolute prerogative, or what we are, a free-willed creature. The problem that we do have, of course, is the fact that we still have much of the animal basis or need in us, and they can be perverted through higher intellect toward making, you know, getting, oh, well, you know, animals got to go hunt around. If you ever have an animal and you feed them, they say, well, I'm going to go to the easy place, and they always hang around if you get fed. You know, it's the same, similar sense in terms of what we need, and then you try to make a kind of easy place. But when it comes to discovering divinity, the purpose, the will of the divinity or God himself, the will of God, it many times is obscured by our animal needs or base needs. And this has been a problem with the way things are. But interestingly enough, sadly enough, sometimes when we get on that path of becoming closer to divinity, we begin to reject our base needs, our animal needs. And sometimes it gets the wise seer who has tapped into that level of consciousness gets stuck in a cave or high on a mountaintop. Or like Riley Martin, who never leaves his couch. He's always lying down on his couch. He doesn't want to move from there because his attunement, his heart, isn't on earth anymore.
That's interesting. We had an email from Matt in Orrville, Ohio. Hey, Matt, would like to get Riley and Eron in an upcoming broadcast. Get all three of you guys. We ought to do that. I'll see what I can do to make that happen. I wanted to relate a story that was odd to me at the time. I don't think I've done this on the broadcast course. I can't remember what I had for lunch, let alone whether I reiterated this story or not. But a couple summers ago, on a Sunday afternoon, I go to the grocery store. It's in a residential part of our city. It's an old residential city, part of the city, with close neighborhoods, with streets only wide enough to park cars on one side. I'm leaving the parking lot, having shopped at the grocery store, and I'm going out the back way. There are two young girls standing on the edge of the parking lot, blocking the way out. You know, I would guess them to be 8, 9 years old tops. And I noticed they never looked up once at me, and they could hear, you know, my minivan. And I found it so odd that, you know, here was this car coming across the parking lot, and they were in no hurry whatsoever, completely ignored that there was a car there, even though they were in the way of traffic, and I had to stop. And I thought about that at the time, like, geez, if it was my kids, I'd be, hey, kids, that's a street, get out of the street. And it held me up for a few seconds. Now, I proceed down the road another block or two, and right in front of me, near a blind intersection, a young kid, maybe 5 or 6 years old, on one of those little tiny beginner bikes, goes right through the stop sign 10 feet in front of my car. If I would not have been paused by those girls in the parking lot, I would have hit that kid. I don't know where those the parents of that kid was. There was a car parked up near the stop sign you couldn't see, and that kid shot right across. He went right through the stop sign. I did not have to stop. And we're talking about a perfect opportunity for me to have run that kid over. Now, you might say maybe the guardian angel at work that day was the kid. Obviously, he was about to be run over by a van in an accident that, you know, would have been horrible. But, you know, I don't think they would have sighted me because there's no way to see the kid. But, you know, I just always thought about that later, that, gee, I was upset at those little girls that they weren't paying any attention and they held me up in the parking lot. But ultimately, it saved me from running over that kid. Go figure.
Yeah, go figure. And these things are really something that we got to always remember, because when we relate to beings who are not locked into space and time and are functioning, they have a different view of things, one that which is able to see forward a bit and to the side a bit beyond what we would normally be able to think of, even having those capabilities. And they come in and they make some changes that are very small, but end up with results that are good, I guess you might say.
You know, with the exception of the beings of light you encountered, the celestial beings that you encountered that are physical beings, do you believe that they can feel pain if they stub their toe? Do they?
Oh, yes. Definitely. They are essentially, when we talk about them as beings of physical capability, material, they have to have the same kind of nervous system, similarly to feel, touch, the base senses that we enjoy. But they also have higher branchial abilities. But these base abilities are very important, because if it wasn't for them, they'd end up actually, you know, getting into positions, because they're not, everything they do is going to be backed up by superior physicality. Not everything they do is like Hollywood. They actually can suffer some pretty severe accidents if they don't have these kinds of physical, touch and feel.
Well, listeners, we have an email we're going to get to now from from Tony C., who sends it in, and it's in regards, it's a question for Michael, in regards to a person named Raj Patel, P-A-T-E-L, R-A-J-J would be the first name, P-A-T-E-L. It's a few sentences, so bear with me. Michael, there is a man brought up in England but now living and working in the U.S. who does seem exceptionally spiritually advanced to me, who is dismissive of much of the present political systems of any party. He's a qualified economist but speaks like no economist I've ever heard, proposing solutions based on global social justice and sustainability to all manner of problems, which makes perfect sense. For instance, he proposes that a hamburger should cost $100 or more based on the cost to the planet's environment and the loss of rainforest habitat, health issues, etc. Extreme, I know, but the planet ceases to be habitable after a couple of generations. It may be realistic. When he speaks with an authority and a passion, often quoting scientific research, that makes it very hard to argue with what he says, except obviously anyone who has a vested interest. Much of what he says is radically different to economists or traditional communists, like the, quote, the opposite of consumerism is generosity, not frugality, unquote, or that part of the solution to the world's problems lies in seriously curbing our desire for ever more stuff. Keep up the good work. Tony, your comments.
Well, there's been a lot of people who have projected into the world their thoughts and their ideas, their philosophies on a better way of doing things, a new paradigm. And this, of course, just is something that we can agree upon. However, it's not easy because of the implant of the present system, which uses finance. And this is where I was talking about this year as being that point in which such systems, the present system, will inevitably have to change. You can't keep printing money that you can never repay, and then you create this type of a very strange economy that inevitably will hurt a lot of people, and that will not be sustainable. Anytime you have that, you'll have rebellion. You have people moving up and saying, taking over things and changing, trying to change things. Even if they don't take over things, they can throw their shoes into the gear work, essentially sabotage it. And these kinds of things are some of the wishes and desires of those who have a different perspective, or who have a different perspective, one that comes from another world, outworldly, because the world that we have here presently is one that has been allowed to exist in its strange way, because it functions in a way that has many of the legacies of Lucifer, Satan, and the rest of the devils that invented a lot of the system. And they had some parts that can be evolved into a higher system, one in which will allow those who progress out of it a greater strength and ability. In other words, we mortals, we human beings here on this confused world, are given an opportunity and tools, one that are higher than many of these other celestial beings have in other worlds. And what it sounds like, coming from this individual's perspective, he has insight from other worlds. In other words, worlds that are operated in dynamic and peaceable ways. We're now headed toward this great change, and individuals that will have insight into these things will be of an order of celestials, exactly the same as the celestials that did teach me, the Danos. So the teaching order will arrive in the time in which the planet is ready to learn. And right now, I'm seeing the events come to place and trying to point them out that will make this doable and make these concepts, the concepts that are being pointed out by many people around the world, doable. There's people who put it down right down to plain old ordinary decision making. Another individual is Benjamin Fulford, of all individuals, that just plain says, you know, you guys are just blackmailing the whole world. Why don't you just get out of this mode and start just working with each other? And all of that is all seen by the celestials, but it takes time. And as this time is running out, there are others who want to force the situation their way. But one of the things that I believe I have to attune to is that some of the old or ancient religious methods will be allowed to employ toward this re-education process. And I'm not talking about Christianity. So we can see some changes coming about, but all in which will inevitably change a paradigm of pure profit. And indeed, some of these people are getting a higher insight. But again, we have had to progress through this. We bring technology into the world and to the level in which was understood by the Danos that we would have to attain, in which, don't worry, I was told, don't worry about what you're seeing here. Earth will have this kind of technology soon in your lifetime, and you will see it. And it's happening right now. And the most powerful part right now that we have is our communications. And that will continue on and link the world toward unity and essentially have a mind that is a celestial mind, a mind that is implanted in every individual, one in which all we have to do is say okay to, and that divine fractal, that thought adjuster, that piece of divinity lies in every individual who wants to do right and not wrong. So that's pretty much what the overall program is, but we all have our own ways of expressing it, and others have their ways of coming to pretty interesting ways of becoming persuasive about what the things we should do. Nevertheless, it all amounts to an evolution toward a new way, a way that will be allowed simply because we can never allow the kind of pressure that allowed a high son of God to become evil. And that was Lucifer and his followers. So that's why our planet is allowed to go through this confusion, along with certain guarding angels or celestials, as well as many, many, many learning celestials who come here and are not observed. Sometimes we see them as UFOs, but they're here getting an education. And one of them was Tan and Nella. They came to fulfill much of their education and understanding, and were of an order that was allowed to interrelate with humanity in a sense of helping it progress through this conscious move toward the rest of the universe.
Well, in talking about the man-made problems that might befall us to cause the world great suffering, obviously one of those things is extreme fundamentalism when it comes to religion. It's not limited to anyone. Oh, we are an equal opportunity when it comes to the crazy people who believe that they were anointed or that they must bring the world apocalypse to bear, that somehow the Bible is talking about them, that's them in there, and I'm going to be remembered forever because I was the one that brought the temple back to Israel, or I was the one that slayed the great Satan. And as more time goes on, years ago, these fundamentalist religious nutbags did not have the means to destroy millions or hundreds of millions or billions of people. And, of course, now we do through biological weapons and atomic weapons. And as the years go by, it'll become harder and harder to keep these nutbags from doing something really, really stupid. Every year that goes by, I think we dodged another bullet. Am I just succumbing to the paranoia? What are your thoughts?
Well, there's always been that pressure, and it keeps essentially people at a point of being aware and trying to keep self aware but in readiness. But that tension also has a lot to do with our ability to prevent terrible evil from overtaking the planet. Although sometimes when I look at the powers that be, the warring powers, the military wing of the world, and look at that as becoming more and more obsolete, because they all kind of realize that, the grand battleships, there was a thought in World War One, the battleship was able to fire guns way inland from way out at sea. It was thought of being the mightiest thing around, but the little buzzing around airplane at the time was made out of canvas and sticks. They never thought would be their greatest enemy. And when Japan went into the Pacific with a tremendous power of battleships, they didn't have enough aircraft carriers, and that's the thing that showed that the old thinking was becoming obsolete, and it defeated their navies, much as they thought they had the greatest one around at the time. Same thing has happened presently in terms of what we have in place. That's pretty much obsolete. And all this fighting stuff that can go around is pretty much obsolete, because the real victor will never be determined by who wins an air battle or who is able to destroy. And even if it becomes selective, this type of rooting out selective enemy and picking on individual or particular car or zone of individuals grouped together, and you fly over there and with a remote craft and blow them up, realized to be becoming obsolete. So the real battle is coming to a point in which our planet will become ready for reattunement to understanding a higher celestial way, which would find its fundamental things being realized even by religions of the world, who will have to actually realize it. They've got to realize who they were actually worshiping and why. And then the type of governance and true power will become implantable into our civilization, will bring about tremendous peace and a higher new way of thinking and understanding. And teacher sons, of course, will arrive. And my position as being a student of a direct student of these teacher sons will go away, because it will be common knowledge what I'm talking about.
Well, here we are just at the end of January. This broadcast is airing originally on January 24th, 2012. We don't have a lot of time between now and the end of the year. We do live in perilous times. I heard this morning on this morning's news that Some of the idiots over in Iran are thinking about trying to close the Straits of, is it Hormuz? Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
And with the sole intention of making gasoline $5 or $6 a gallon in the United States. What would that, that wouldn't be real cool. We think we're in tough times now. What if those nutbags over there could make sure your gasoline doubled? At any rate...
One of the things is that it will play exactly into the hands of the oil companies, who say that's exactly the price they need to stay profitable in getting oil from other sources that we have, and that would be the Arctic area, you know, Alaska's area, other types of oils, oil shales, and natural gas type. Work, which would, you know, make it profitable for them, so they wouldn't have to get oil from the Middle East in the volumes that they do right now. So, essentially, they're manipulating these guys right down, and they're working toward their profitability, the grand oil companies, like, you know, the big ones that we know all about.
So. Yeah, they're having a party at Halliburton headquarters. I think it's now in Dubai, isn't it? Another fine American company keeping its jobs in America. Oops, that's right. They moved their headquarters to Dubai. Well, folks, we're out of time for this broadcast. We'll have to pick up this conversation next week, same time. But before we leave, I want to say, as I try to every single broadcast, the reason we do this broadcast is because Michael told his celestial friends that he would try to get the word out for them, and he's keeping his promise to them by utilizing this platform. We are thrilled that Michael uses this platform at Artist First. We do not accept advertising on this program and will not accept any advertising on this program. And Michael has nothing to sell. You guys might think we're loony as the day is long, but we're putting out the information for you guys to decide what to think. There is something else out there besides Fox News. Michael, keep your head down, and we'll talk with you next week, my friend.
Okay, aloha.
Stay tuned. Artie Kornfeld follows the CBS News on Artist First World Radio.